How to Stay Pure in an Age of Advanced Technology. Let's stand for the reading of the Bible in Proverbs chapter number 2. If you'll look there in verse number 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Why is it so important to get to the point? Listen, young people, I can preach all the wisdom I can from this pulpit, but if you don't let it enter into your heart, then it's not going to help a bit. Until knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul, and instead of you getting angry every time we deal with some subjects, you are thankful for it, then I'm just spitting in the wind up here. I'm like John the Baptist. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. At some point, every adult and every young person has to take some personal responsibility to refuse to stay simple in some areas, to gain wisdom and knowledge, and build a discretion and have discretion and build safeguards in your life so that you'll be preserved. Okay, we don't say the things we say to try to rob you of anything. We're trying to protect you. And so please hear me tonight, okay? Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Why? To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths. To deliver thee, verse 12, from the way of the evil man. To deliver thee, verse 16, from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattereth with her words. Which, boy, this is interesting. This will teach right here. Notice this. Most dangerous women out here. The strangest women out here. Notice what it says in verse 17. Which forsaketh the guide of her what? And forsaketh the covenant of her God. See, sometimes we think that the most dangerous women are women, evil women that never had an opportunity to know better. The most dangerous people out there are the ones that in their youth were given opportunity and they forsook it because they now have a predator mentality, like one of the young men who, by the way, wasn't going to have an option to come back to the school, but now has been coming after some of our young ladies saying, "You don't really want to go to that school, do you?" Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? What I'm saying is when you see somebody have the opportunity, forsake the opportunity, they are dangerous on a level, higher level than somebody who doesn't know. And isn't that interesting? Forsaketh the guide of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None shall go unto her return again. None that go unto her return again, neither can take hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out. It's not just true of teenagers, by the way. Adults that sat here, had their opportunity, were taught, had their chances, and leave, are absent. That group of people work harder to try to pull their direction, Christian people, than any other people in the world. They go after good Christians harder than the drunkard, the dope addict, or the prostitute. Okay, you better get that in your head. Come on, are we going to stay simple or you want to get wise? Okay, now Proverbs chapter 7, of course, classic chapter that deals with an eyewitness account of the destruction of a simple young man, destruction of his entire future. And my son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee, keep my commandments and live that my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Why? That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked out through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would give us some discernment. Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. And Lord, I ask for your wisdom. I just want to blow a trumpet tonight. I want to once again warn our church. Lord, so many people that seem so determined to sell this age of advanced technology and to embrace it and sometimes to be very simple concerning the dangers of it. Lord, I pray that we would, as Christians, be warned. And help us, Lord, help our young people to have a heart to want to protect themselves, a heart to want to practice discretion. And our young couples, dear God, that they would, as they've grown up with this stuff, I would pray, Lord, that they would ask your help in setting safe parameters in their life, in the use of the technology that's available. And we pray, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 7. For years, pastors and youth pastors and evangelists have used Proverbs 7 to warn Christians and Christian young people about the dangers of the strange woman and the evil man. I have two messages that I preach out of Proverbs chapter 7. One's entitled The Anatomy of a Seduction. The other, How to Avoid the Scarlet Sin. They're the same sermon. They just have two different titles. The chapter outlines splendidly. It gives us great wisdom. I want all of you to hear me, please. Hear me well. I don't care if every other Christian in America has turned their back on decency, purity, and holiness. The Bible has not changed its position on these things. God expects every Christian, old and young, to stay pure. Young people to one day come to the wedding altar pure and chaste. Married folks, once you have been to the wedding altar, to stay pure within the relationship that God has given you. That's the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. You know what? I don't care what age we live in, what the culture has brought mankind to accept. Those words have not changed. This is the will of God, that we be purely, and we be clean, and we be holy, that we sanctify ourselves, that we abstain from fornication, that we know and learn how to possess our vessel, our body, in sanctification and honor. This is the will of God. Now, Proverbs chapter 2 warns us. Young ladies, please listen to me. By the way, married ladies, please listen to me. There are evil men who are determined to destroy the purity of your life and the purity of your married relationship if you're married. There used to be a time when this was a symbol of protection, that when somebody saw this, they understood to respect that and to not mess with that. We've come into an age where now that has become a challenge to many people. Most folks cannot keep a marriage together, and they seem offended that others can. And so they work hard to destroy good marriages. Young people, young ladies, let me say this. There are evil men that are absolutely determined to destroy your life and steal your purity. The parameters and some of the fences and the safeguards that your parents put into your life, I pray to God you've got the wisdom not to buck against those things. but instead to be thankful for them and understand that your parents love you very much, or they would not have placed those things and those protections in your life. Well, preacher, there's other families that the parents don't put these things in. Aren't you glad that your parents love you the way they do? Aren't you glad? And please listen to me. Your parents are wise to put parameters in your life. They're wise to have restrictions as far as your access to the technology that's available. It is fraught with danger. It's fraught with danger. Young men, there are strange young women who are determined to rob you of your future. Well, preacher, I think you can kind of fudge in that area a little bit and sow a few wild oats and then down the road get married and everything's going to be fine and dandy. You need to sit down, and I mean this, and I'm not trying to be mean about this, but I guarantee you, if you really believe that, young man, I've got some men in this church that was saved later on in life. They would love to sit down and set you straight on this. They would love to be able to look you in the eyeball and say, do you think you can do this knowing what you know, and all of a sudden you're just going to later on go into a marriage and not carry the baggage of all of that into the marriage with you? You don't think it's going to affect your future? The warnings at the end of Proverbs chapter number 2, at the end of Proverbs chapter number 7, folks, we act as if this matter of immorality is just an uh-oh, and then I'll just go on. This is a sin that has long-term consequences. Say, preacher, God can forgive it. And yes, he can. And if I've messed up before, are you telling? I'm saying he can forgive it. I'm saying also there are built-in consequences. Okay? And there's many, many people that have messed up in their life, and God on the eternal record has washed it in the blood of Christ, and thank God he has. But they still are affected in their life with the real consequences of this all the way to this day. And so you have an opportunity in a ministry like this to listen and to hear and not to have to have a life with all of that stuff in it. I mean, at the end of the chapter 7, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him. 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray to her past, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I don't know about you, but that sounds like long-term consequences to me. Okay, please listen to what I'm going to say. Now, I wanted to, I guess, bring an old message with a new twist, because I have on purpose sat down with some young preachers in the last several weeks. Young men that understand technology and understand things more than I do. I tell people kiddingly, not so kiddingly, that I'm a tech-tard. And what that means is it's kind of a word like retard, only I'm tech-tard. And you say, preacher, could you know more than you know? Yes, I could. It's not that I'm incapable of learning. There are some things I don't mind staying a little ignorant in. But I sat down with some youth pastors in the last couple of weeks. I had twice opportunity to do this with a small group of them. And their generation was raised with this stuff. And I looked at them and I said, you need to educate me. You need to talk to me. And first of all, the outpouring of horror stories. First of all, there was a preacher, thank you for being concerned enough to learn some things. Everybody's walking around like it's okay, and it's not okay. There's more secret sin underneath the surface of, in our independent fundamental Baptist churches than most of us have any idea of. In our Bible colleges, listen to me, this is where we're sending our young people to train. The technology and the use of it or misuse of it is taking out a generation of potential full-time Christian workers. I'm not exaggerating the point. The first thing they wanted to press upon me was this. Yes, you need to deal with this. Yes, you need to blow the trumpet on this. Most parents have not an inkling of the accessibility that right now is in the hand of their young people. They don't have an inkling of what the gadgets that they've allowed them to have the wherewithal to do. And then they begin to talk to me about some of this. Now, I was stirred about it. Young people, listen to me. I want to just help you with something, because I'm going to tell you something. For the most part, this is going to be something you have to decide for you. See, we're in a strange place here, my generation. Your moms and dads are in a strange place, because almost always in the culture, your parents have known more about the dangers of a situation than you've known. This is a whole different game, because you know more about something that's dangerous than we do. And I'm going to make some appeals to your parents to build some boundaries in your life. But I'm saying this, and parents, you need to hear me. There are no amount of boundaries you can put in your life that if your child decides that they're going to sneak around and access this stuff, they will do it. They will do it. So what I'm saying, young people, is this. You can either say, all right, good, we finally got the power. Yes, you do. You have the power to destroy your life. You have the power to destroy your future. And you know what? In this area, we have less power than we've had in any other area throughout all of the ages of culture to help you not do it. And so although I'm going to address the parents some, I'm starting this message by appealing to you young people. I get it. All the technology is cool. It's also dangerous. And you know what? Just because you can get something that does this doesn't mean it's wise that you have something that does this. Okay? In your youth, you are susceptible to a level of temptation that you won't be later on in some unique areas. And if you sneak around and begin, listen, you cannot take fire into your bosom and not get burned. And so I'm really appealing to you. One of the things that the young pastors told me is this. He said, preacher, almost anything that runs on batteries, any of these game things, almost anything has internet access. People say, well, I don't let them have a smartphone, but I let them have an iPad or an iPod. And he said, I let them have one of the little game things. I don't know the names for all of them. And one of the guys said, you know, I was watching one of my teenagers play a game. The other one was sitting on the other side of the room, and they were playing each other. The only way they can do that is to get internet access. There's hardly a gadget you can hand them that, if they are taught how to do it or learn how to do it, cannot access the internet. Are you getting this? You say, big deal. It is a big deal. Do you really have an understanding of what's available on the internet? You really have an understanding. I mean, honestly, and Brother Klein has been good about this and has helped this preacher and educated me in this. The honest truth is, anybody here that has a phone that has internet access, somebody knew what they could do. It could take it from you and in 30 seconds hand it back to you with pornography on it. Probably in 15 seconds. I am right on this. They looked at me and said, preacher, they can do the same thing on their little game things. And what I'm saying is, parents don't know it. You think, well, I'm not going to get them this, but I'll get them this because the kids told you that it's safe. It's not safe. Now, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying to not have any of this stuff. I'm saying you need to know enough about this stuff to block the access to these things. And young people, you've got to decide that you're going to love God enough not to sneak around the block. Okay? I understand it. I'm not one of these that are going to come to the pulpit and say, you know what, all technology is evil. We use some in this ministry in a very limited capacity, and I do understand it has the potential of good, but it has that much potential of good and that much potential of evil. I'm just flat telling you. So listen to me, and I'm going to be reasonable with you. I mean this. I'm not Chicken Little running through telling you the sky's falling. I'm telling you, we do not really understand what's going on with this technology. Parents are shocked when they're called to Bible colleges and they are handed the evidence of their young people's technology activity, internet activity. They're shocked by it. I had no idea, preacher. Let me give you a for instance. Listen. If my dad wanted to punish me, he just sent me to my room. Okay? After he did other things that the authorities should know about. I mean, he just sent me to my room. Your child wants to go to his room. As long as he can take his phone with him. Now listen very carefully what I'm going to say. By the way, I'm getting ahead of my outline here, but how do you stay pure in the age of advanced technology? Number one, don't stay simple. Number two, avoid places of temptation. Now, listen to me. That's the things we always taught here. Avoid places of temptation. First mistake this young man made was he failed to avoid places of temptation. He went through the street near her corner. He went the way to her house. He was hanging around in the neighborhood where there was going to be trouble. Okay, this wasn't a mistake. Okay? Now listen. In my day, when I first started preaching out of Proverbs chapter 7, we warned against going to the public school dances or the pool hall or hanging down at the car wash on Main Street on a Friday night. Hanging around the mall. I mean, that's the places of temptation. Folks, listen to me. Today, the places of temptation have changed. Technology's changed this, but remember this, the principles of the Bible still work, still protect us. Where's the places of temptation now? They're on the internet. They're in chat rooms. They're on Facebook. The strange woman Twitters her seduction now. The evil young man texts his way into a pure young lady's heart. Where do they hang out? Is it at the dances or the pool hall or the car wash? No, they hang out on their smartphones and their iPads and their instant messaging. That's where they hang out. Now, my dad, if he wanted to keep me away from the wrong crowd, he just grounded me and sent me to my room. Now, folks, when I went to my room, I walked in there and I sat on the bed. And there was a bed and a dresser and some clothes hanging in the closet and some books if I decided I was bored enough to read. And I just sat there and looked at the ceiling and looked at the walls and spent an hour thinking about what a mean, harsh, unreasonable man my father was, you know. That's how we did it. Folks, listen, I want you to believe what I'm going to say here. Okay? Please listen to me. You send your child into their room and they shut the door and they've got their phone with them. They're not alone. Now, I'm going to try to just use some reason with you. And some of you that are before the cell phone age, okay, listen to me. Back in the 70s, back in the prehistoric days, dinosaurs still roam the earth, and Fred Flintstone lived next door to us. But back in prehistoric times, honestly, you think about this, folks. I'm going to try to rationalize with you. In the 1970s, 1980s, when we were growing up, if some family in the church, you know, usually a fringe family and parents that were kind of worldly and didn't have much sense, and their teen kid would come in on a Sunday morning and they'd say, you're not going to believe this, man. This is so cool. What? My mom and dad let me get a phone in my room. I mean, back in those days, they had to run a wire, all right, into the room and take over and plug this thing, and you didn't go like this. You went like this, okay? Or like this. And Now, wait a minute. Come on now. Think about that. If my dad would have heard somebody say, come on, Brother Tim, we were growing up. Some kid said, we got a phone in our room. Every parent and every teenager even that had any sense said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, parents would literally have said, are they nuts? They let the kid have their own phone in their room? Are they crazy? When our parents, Brother John, growing up, if we talked them into letting us have a cassette player or an 8-track, if we could talk them into that. Now watch this, I'm going to teach you something. The few kids that talked their parents into having some kind of stereo system in their room at least had the sense to have this number one rule. Okay, I'm going to let you have it, but you cannot have headphones. Are you letting this sink in? I mean, number one, they wouldn't have let 99% of us have it in our room. But the ones that did had enough sense to say, okay, you're not going to have headphones because whatever you're listening to, I'm going to hear. Now look at where we're at. Christian kids walking around all over the place with two little buds in their ear, and you think you know what they're listening to, and yet I have proved it over and over again, you don't. I'm trying to help some of you. Yeah, but I can control this, I can control this. If I had a dime for every story I heard like that, if they want to listen to music, let it play. Let's all hear it. Let's all listen to it. But I don't always want to hear it. Then be a mean parent and say, shut it off. Okay? But those little buds look so cool. That's the problem. They're more worried about appearance and being cool and being cutting edge and look what I have. And pretty soon, I know everything that's on there. I loaded it myself. Yeah, and they can't get anywhere where they can load something different. Okay? Now, I'm just logicking with you here. If we'd have had a phone in our room, are you kidding me? Every parent in the church would have said, that family's nuts. They let the kid put a phone in his room. They let that kid have a stereo system with headphones. They let that kid have a TV in his room. Listen, would that have flown? Brother Eric Reiser, did he sign up for that? Did you try?
No.
I didn't either, man. We didn't even ask. Even if we thought it was a good idea, there was no even reason to go and ask that question. Okay, you send your kid with the room with their smartphone. They have a phone in their room. They have unlimited access to any type of music on demand they want, and they have a TV in their room with the capability of loading down any Hollywood movie out there. Okay. They have not only that, they have unlimited access to watch this. You send them in their room with a smartphone. You send them in their room like that, and they have now in their room a porn store. Just like that, right? Not only that, they've got a door. You don't see it, but they have an exterior door to their room now with unlimited access to bring unsaved people into their room with them. Unlimited access to carnal Christians. Listen, when I was being punished, I wanted to talk to carnal Christians. I wanted somebody to commiserate with me. Unlimited access to carnal Christians. Unlimited access to scorners. Unlimited access to enticers. Unlimited access to perverts. Unlimited access to pedophiles. Now, this is the reality of it. Okay? Proverbs 7 teaches us that the first way to avoid the scarlet sin is to avoid the places the strange woman or the evil man is known to hang out. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you this, and you can believe it or not. Spiritual Christians don't have a lot of time or inclination to play around on the computer. Number one, we're too busy. Number two, we go to most of these places that y'all hang out, and the carnality of it and the ridiculous foolishness of it absolutely turns us off in about a heartbeat, and we say, why would anybody waste their time on this? Now, let me tell you, the opposite is true of that. Carnal Christians, these chat rooms are a magnet for backslidden carnal Christians. They're a magnet. You know why some of your young people are fussing so much over the standards of late? Because somebody is talking to them, laying out all of their arguments against what their parents are trying to teach them, laying out all the arguments against what the Bible stands for in these areas of separation. They're being worked on. Now, again, you say, preacher, I'm saying this. I'm not going to change my mind on this. You listen to me. It's just as foolish for your child to have a phone in their room alone as it was in 1970 for us to have a phone in our room alone. Okay? You say, preacher, it's just the new thing. All right. There's a time and a place that they should be of age to be trusted with that. But I'm telling you, it's not during their teenage years. I'm going to say it, and every parent in here, you know what? I bow to the boundaries. This is my boundary. I'm using my bully's pulpit. I'm going to blow the trumpet on this. What you decide in your family, I'm not going to come to you and personally rebuke you about anything. I'm warning you that this idea of handing phones to our young people in our youth group is undermining and destroying the spirituality of this church. It's hurting them, and it's hurting your church. Okay? Now, kids, I know what you do. Turn 16, you get your license. All right, good. Now, I can go to my parents, and I can put them on a guilt trip. Okay, Mom, I'm 16 now. I got my license. What if I'm driving to Linton on some back, lonely, dark road? The car breaks down. An entire truckload of crazy rednecks with machetes get out. And they hack my body into 5,000 pieces. And you're gonna be sorry when you're at my funeral because you wouldn't let me have a phone. And this is what they always say. I'll only use it for emergencies. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging from a telephone wire. You liars that told your parents that, let me ask you the question, have you only used it for emergencies? How many emergencies do you have when you're 16? So we get guilt tripped into it. Say, preacher, come on. In this day and age, I got a daughter. She's out on the road sometimes by herself. You do what me and Mrs. Ross did. We both had a cell phone. When Amanda or Hannah went off to work, we handed them a phone and said, take this with you. And if you have a problem, give us a call. And when they got back in, they gave the phone back to Mama, because I'm not giving mine up. You know, I have to be available to my congregation. I tell somebody the other day, I said, half the time I want to throw this thing in a lake. And then 10 minutes later, I'd be diving in the lake looking for it, because it's amazing how we've become so reliant upon it. But listen, kids, listen to me. Preacher, you're just killing me, man. I got a cell phone, and now I'm scared to go home. They're going to take that thing from me. You know, that's up to your mom and dad. I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you this. They'd be doing you a favor. They'd be protecting you. You see, come on, parents. You started out strict with that thing. Now what's happened? Come on. If you'd go back to the parameters that you had when you gave it to them, we could probably settle this thing. But you know what? They just wear you down and wear you out. Next thing you know, they got it all the time, and they're on it all the time. And if you checked, now they've got 2, 3, 4, 5, some of them 6,000 texts a month. Yeah. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In the multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin. There's no way in the world. You can say whatever you want to, that you can text 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 times and be talking about things you ought to be talking about. I'm flat telling you there's no way in the world. No way in the world. See, this isn't, I'm trying to help our teens, but really, you 20-somethings got me scared. Okay, mom and dad don't have any say anymore, do they? Why don't you let God have some say? By the way, you 30-somethings are scaring me. Some of y'all that have gotten into this technology and become a slave to it my age are scaring me. Okay? You've let this thing become too big in your life. It has ceased at some point to be a tool, and now it's become a god. I think you all this the other day, but I'm going to invent a Bible that vibrates. I'm going to invent a Bible that has a ring to it. It rings. Because the way some of you react every time your phone makes a noise, if I get the Bible to do that, you know, you're sitting here. Don't you break my heart, my achy breaky. And there's nothing worse in the world than being in a church service and have one of your church members have their ringtone going off and achy breaky heart playing in the congregation. Especially when it's Tom Walton's. That's what just drives me crazy. Good night. The only thing funnier than that would be watching you try to line dance to it. That would be the only. Well, that's a picture I'll go to my grave with right there. Are you hearing me? What I'm saying is, folks, we need to get this thing corralled back to where it ought to get. Parents, I think you and the missus need to sit down and have a sensible talk about this. I'm not even dictating every line. I'm just saying we have allowed the kids to have access to things. We put poison in their hand, trusting them not to drink it. We put razor blades in their hand, praying to God they don't cut themselves with it. And you need to understand something. They're not going to handle it very long before something bad is going to happen in their lives if they don't have parameters. Folks, listen to me. You can call the phone companies if you get the right kind of phones and limit. And you need to put the limitations, not only just on your kids' phones, but you need to exercise some discipline in your own life. Okay? Avoid places of temptation. Avoid this, you know, this thing outlines. Avoid the hours of temptation. Notice Proverbs 7, verse 9, in the twilight and the evening, in the black and dark night. Listen, there are hours that are more dangerous than others. This is a proven fact of the Bible. Jesus talks about children of light and children of darkness, children of the day and children of the night. Young people and even adults up into the wee hours of the morning, hooked into these Facebook, hooked into these chat rooms, personal messages. I mean, you are a slave to that thing. Come on. I sometimes tell somebody, you're addicted too much to this. Oh, no, I'm not. I say, okay, then don't touch it for a week. If you want to find out whether or not you're addicted, hey, we fast on food, don't we? We're supposed to. We fast on food. And that's actually a necessity. Why don't you have an internet fast? Why don't you have a Facebook fast? Why don't you, come on, I'm not telling you get rid of it. I'm saying, why don't you spend 7 days away from it? Some of you, by the second or third day, be climbing the wall. You'd be going crazy. You're scared that your 737 friends might have left you a message that you have to spend 7 hours returning all these stupid things. You know, went to Walmart today. bought a green shirt. Thanks for sharing. I don't care. Did you hear me? I don't care. I was ripping up one of these nationally known youth pastors 2 weeks ago. He tweets. And there's something that came to, I don't even know what this stuff is. There's something that came to my email box. Brother so-and-so wants you to join on his, is it a Twitter account? Do you tweet on Twitter or do you twit on? Just keep going, right? Keep going. And so I'm thinking, so I push a button and there it is. And he has all these little things he's telling everybody about him. You know, folks, can I say this? That's called being a narcissist. It is. If you think that you have a bunch of friends that are so interested to follow you everything you do every day, you really believe you need to supply that information and that there's people out here that kill you're a narcissist. He was like, went to Wendy's, awesome new sandwich. What, all of his youth groupies follow him? Hey, brother so-and-so, he went to Wendy's, man. It was cool. And I'm ripping him. I said, I don't care if you went to Wendy's. Don't send me that junk. I don't have time to get on your whatever it is account and see, you know, what brand of underwear you bought today. I don't care. Really? You think the world cares? You're a narcissist. You imagine if I got up, I mean, oh, come on, Brother Casper, I am calling what it is. If I came on here and said, folks, by the way, I got a blog just for you church members that want to know what I'm doing during the week. Several times a day, I'll just kind of touch base with you. Tell you what's going on in the life of Jerry Ross. Because I know you're all interested. You'd say, is he a nut? Or you should say that. For one thing, I don't get it because I like privacy. I don't, maybe it's because I was raised in a preacher's home, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not that we're trying to hide anything, but I just don't think everybody needs to know all my business. If I go buy a green shirt, I ain't telling nobody. I don't think anybody ought to care. Now, I think about this because we're all laughing, but some of you are hooked into that level of stuff. Every little thing that happens in your life, you got to go report it, and you got to run around and see whatever the little thing. Are y'all nuts? That's the big thing in your life now? That's what's consuming hours of your life a week? Come on. And what I'm saying here is this. Look, listen, I got off on this, but this hours of temptation. You know where most of the tomfoolery is happening? When you think your kids are in bed asleep. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, under the covers, they've got their little phone out, and they're carrying on a relationship that you don't even know about. Why? Because that's where when the enticers work. There's things I can't even describe. I had them. I don't know, maybe I ought to meet with the parents on this, but I had these youth pastors tell me things going on with technology, and I'll be honest with you. And I'm not talking about things they're dealing with in their public school kids, in their Christian school kids, in their homeschool groups. I can't tell y'all all everything is, but folks, there's texting and then there's sexting. Okay, your children with their phone can go in their room and they have the capability of another young person taking any kind of pictures they want and sending them back and forth to each other, and they're doing it. And they're doing it. immodesty. Avoid those who dress immodestly. And behold, there met a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtile of heart. And as I just mentioned, some of our young ladies are taking pictures of themselves in seductive poses and sending it around. Some of the young men are stripping of their shirts and laying on their back and posing and setting their picture up and sending it off to girls as if we care. Come on. What I'm saying is technology has, listen, we used to be able to say before they left the house, let me look at everybody, all right, you need to go change that. Now they're in their room and they're out everywhere. They're out farther than they could ever imagine going. Immodest. It's out there, brother. It's out there forever. Young person, you have to be wise. You may think that that's funny one time to do something like that. I'm telling you, you just sent something that could end up around the world. You just sent something that's going to come back and haunt you after you get right with God, if you ever get right with God. What if one of our young ladies, you know, one of our young men playing one of these days, you know what, you did some stupid things, now you're playing down the road for a youth pastor position, and one of your buddies decides maybe that pastor ought to see this picture. I get that. You're not getting a job. But Brother Jerry, I'm sorry, but I've changed. Okay, good. Let's watch you for 10 years. Sorry. It's costing you something. Well, I don't think that's fair. Did you read the last several verses of Proverbs chapter 7? Did you or don't you? Is this a joke?
No, sir.
Is this a bump in the road?
No, sir.
Avoid those who dress immodestly. Young people, you got to be smart. You have to be wise. Young lady starts sending you pictures or texts that are suggestive, you ought to, young man, you ought to walk right to your parents, open that thing up and say, look. In your use of technology, young people, you ought to be 100% transparent with your parents on it. 100%. The minute you start keeping secrets through technology, I promise you, you have gotten onto a road that will destroy you. I mean, I've seen young people do everything. Well, we check the records on their phone. Look at me. Which phone? Well, the only one they have. Really? Because they're not smart enough to get another one. Okay. I'm preaching, there's some young people need to go home and come clean. I'm serious. I'm not talking about coming up here 5 minutes at the altar, and then by the time you get home, the devil's talked you back out of it. I'm talking about when you get in the car, Mom and Dad, there's some things I need to show you when we get home. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a young lady, maybe married, maybe unmarried, right now, that is actively involved in a relationship that either your parents or your husband don't know about through technology. Oh, but we're just friends. I'm going to say it again. Everybody can poo-poo this all you want. When you said I do and took your vows and put that ring on your finger, you have no right at that point for the rest of your life to have, ma'am, you have no right to have boyfriends, men friends. People can laugh, they can mock, they can scorn all they want to. By the way, the ones that are doing it have already destroyed things that they'll never get fixed. Sir, you have no right. Well, I just knew her in high school and we just talked. Really? Are you kidding me? Well, are you saying that you just don't think as adults, married people, we can have friends that are of the opposite gender? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it as plain as I know how to say it. Look right up here. No man in this church ought to be texting somebody else's wife. Nobody. Nobody ought to be texting somebody else's wife. No woman in this church ought to be texting somebody else's husband. Nobody. Now, I've kept this up here. I'm not keeping this up here. I find out you're doing it, I'm going to come to you. I've already got my sights on a couple men that I'm going to have to come to Jesus meeting with. You think it makes you something because you can flirt with somebody else's wife? I'm going to have a come to Jesus meeting with you. Now, they're not in here, the ones I'm going to come get, but they frequent the place. That's what a shepherd does. He goes after wolves. Are you crazy? Are you getting this? Okay. Avoid those who dress immodestly. Let me go quickly now. Avoid people of low moral character. Verse number 7. Notice the description here. Verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now we can change that to her fingers abide not in her house. She is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. You're going to hear some loud, stubborn people criticize everything I say tonight. Mark them. Ladies, you say, preacher, I don't run around. I'm not that person. Wait, are you a homemaker? Are you a housewife? Do you have the blessing to stay home? And then if you're sitting there at the computer running around, it's no different than if you were running around. Avoid people who cannot keep their hands to themselves. So she caught and kissed him with an impudent face, said unto him, the goal of the evil man and the strange woman is the same, to destroy the purity of the innocent. Technology, watch this, is the first way now that they touch you. But it never stops there. Technology will always lead to an eventual face-to-face encounter. Here's the question. Watch this. I'm going to say it. Young lady, young wife, who's touching you right now that shouldn't be touching you? You mean physically touch me? No, I mean touching your heartstrings. Touching your emotions. Touching your mind. Touching your thought processes. Who's having influence that shouldn't touch you? And by the way, it's not always another man that is helping to destroy your purity. Avoid people who wear a cloak of spirituality. Verse 14, I have peace offerings with me this day. I've paid my vows. Folks, listen to me. The people that worry me the most are the ones that try to spiritualize this stuff. Okay, they want to argue back of all of the spiritual benefits of this stuff. I don't like where I see ministries going. I'm just telling you, I don't like it. Too many ministries have just surrendered to the technology. They've jumped right in the middle of it. I'm getting periodicals from independent fundamental publications that are saying, join me on Facebook. That bugs me. That bothers me. It does. Like I mentioned a minute ago, preachers that are tweeting all over the place. It bothers me. Well, people have to have access. Please listen to me. How much access do you think the people had to John the Baptist? No, look right up here. I guess these preachers are greater than John the Baptist. You know how much access they had? They came down to the river, and John came out of the wilderness, and he lifted up his voice like a trumpet, and he preached the word of God. And he preached against sin, and he baptized those that would repent. And then he said, walked back into the wilderness, and they came down and hung out the river again till he came back out of the wilderness. This whole idea, boy, I want you to get this. This whole idea that your preacher ought to be your buddy, you need to change your thinking on that. I promise you, this is good, Brother Derek. And I know we're pressured. It's like we're pressured. They want us to have a Facebook friend mentality in the ministry. Do you know one of the reasons that we keep an area of separation? Because I have to walk to this pulpit without fear or favor, and I have to say, thus saith the Lord. And you know what? Preachers that are building strong personal relationships constantly in their congregation, a lot of times will begin to curb their message for those that they consider close friends. I love all of you, but I'm going to tell you something. There's not a one of you I'm scared of, and there's not a one of you I won't call you out. I'm going to preach the Bible, and I'm going to preach it straight and hard, and I don't care who's involved in what in this church. And by the way, you ought to thank God you have that kind of preacher. I'm not trying to be your buddy. Okay? I'm glad to reach out and be your friend. I want to be there if you need help, but we just got this crazy mentality. Okay? I watch preachers just spend all their time on that thing, and they think they're building all this network and all this stuff. Like I said, I just don't see John the Baptist doing it. What we need is prophets. Separate themselves from the people and come out and speak and say, thus saith the Lord. I'm not talking about being crazy. I want to be approachable. I hang around usually till the last hurrah after church, except for a few of you. I just can't do it, man. And by the way, I'm glad for you. I love it. I love the fact that people just want to hang around after church. And sometimes I just give up and say, y'all just turn the light out. I'm tired, you know. But I'll hang around. Preacher, I've been trying to get to see. If you want to see me, I'm hanging around. I'll hang around as late as somebody's waiting to talk to me. I mean that. If you'll have some patience, I'm just saying, you know what? I want to help you with something. There's too many preachers that are trying to get a following instead of helping their people have that same connection with Almighty God. My job is not to help you, to have you build a relationship with me as much as it is help you to build a relationship with God. Okay, this is where we get some of this, you know, celebrity mentality in our preaching circles. Okay, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook. Folks, listen to me. Don't follow me. I call that stalking. I mean, we're nuts. What's crazy is that this, to some of you, sounds unreasonable. I mean, if I bring the old-time preachers up and they visit this day and age, they look around and say, what? This is pastoring now? This is the ministry? This is what you've let it become? So don't come to me with this, oh, but you know, just don't understand how much this could be used as a tool. And this could be used. All right, listen, I'm not crazy about this stuff. I understand there are very limited benefits if you build in a lot of safeguards. And again, I encourage you on this. I'm going to say it in a minute. Let me not get ahead of myself. Avoid people who talk suggestively or use flattery or fair speech to get what they want. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works, fine linen. I've perfumed my bed with, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves. You know what, folks? If you start getting texts that are even borderline suggestive, you ought to block that person. You ought to cut. If you're a wife, you ought to show it to your husband. If you're a husband, you ought to show it to your wife. If you're a young person, you ought to show it to your parents. Okay? And if it's a member of this church doing it, come show it to me. Come show it to me. All right? We got to build some accountability into this thing. We've talked about pictures, but what about words? Words can be as much pornography as pictures. All right. Number 9, avoid people who are always trying to get you alone. Young people, listen to me. There are thousands, tens of thousands of stories of young people that have gotten involved in this. And you know what? We are shocked the day that the husband comes home and the stuff is packed and she's gone and he didn't even know something was going on. We're shocked when a little mama comes home and a husband has disappeared and run off. And it all happened through technology. Watch this. Young, I'm talking about Christian school. I'm talking about teenagers, independent fundamental Baptist church, climbing out of their bedroom windows at 2 o'clock in the morning. Where did it happen? technology. Parents didn't even know the relationship was going on. Now, young people, I'm gonna give you some last-minute things and some exhortations. Please hear me. And parents, please hear me. I am going to make a strong suggestion to our teenagers, our young people, that you forego the use of technology during your teenage high school years, unless it's under supervision, direct adult supervision. Preacher, don't you think there might be a handful of kids that can handle it? Yeah, probably. But it's not the ones that think they can. You go home and say, Mom, I'm the exception. I can promise you the kid that tells you that is not the exception. You mean not use the internet? No, you can, if you have a legitimate reason to be on it, then you ought to say to your mom and dad, Mom, this is the reason I need to be on the internet. And if they agree that that's a legitimate reason, and when mom and dad has time to sit down beside you, you can go find what you need, get it, and then turn the thing off. And by the way, parents, why don't you type the password in for them?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I'm just making a stick. I think the less technology that our young people use, the safer they are. Okay. Parents, go home if you don't believe me, and every piece of technology they have, you research it and find out whether or not they have internet access through that thing. You're going to be shocked. Okay. If you have a cell phone, and this I think should go for most of us, you need to limit the phone's capabilities. Okay. This phone right here, I can call and I can text, and wow, I got a call, and I can phone and I can text. And by the way, if you can text, am I right, Brother Klein? If you can text, you can get on the internet. Is that true? Can you block it? Okay. I would be glad for you to check mine, but I was told that what I have now and what our family has is call capability and texting capability. Now, you young people, listen to me. You go home and try to sell that to your parents. My little girl is going to get married. She's been in California for 2 years. We didn't have this when they were teenagers in the house. Okay? That's what it can do. Well, I want to check my emails. Well, you know what? I'm going to get the office sooner or later and I can check my emails. Most of the excuses we use for having internet access on our phones, the honest truth is you don't need that kind of access to that information in that time frame. Okay? Limit your phone capabilities. If your young person somehow has just convinced you they have to have a phone, then get a phone that only makes calls. Don't let them have texting. Folks, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Okay, some of you, I'm gonna keep this CD in my office so that when we're dealing later on and you're in tears in my office, I can just hit the button and you'll hear this. Don't let them have texting. 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 Please, please, parents, don't let them have texting. And I may just play that 7 or 8 times for you while you're weeping and crying because you don't know where your girl is. Okay? Build in safeguards with technology. We don't have internet access at our house, and I'm not upset if you do, but you ought to have a lot of built-in safeguards. A lot of built-in safeguards. Your computer ought to be in a common open area where anybody walking through can see where you're at, what you're doing on it. I think husbands ought to be accountable to their wives, and wives ought to be accountable to their husbands. There's programs that you can get put on your computer that sends a report to your wife and sends a report to a husband of every website you've been to. You ought to have that. Well, you're just treating us like children. Why? Hey, come on now. Why is this making you so nervous. Well, I don't have that. Okay, let me ask you an honest question for you and God. I mean, you're lying, you're dying. How you doing? Come on, how are you doing? Come on. Build in safeguards in the technology. Accountability into the technology. Let me give you this last thought. Please, folks, do not become a slave to technology. Now, we use some around here, but I promise you, we use it as a tool. A tool. There's things I go on it for, and then if I get what I need, I'm off of it. Brother Klein gets a report of where I've been. My wife gets a report of where I've been. Everybody that uses internet in this church, I get a report of where they've been. When I go online, and I had Brother Klein set this up, I go over and click online. It does not go to Yahoo or does not go to some other server. I don't even know what I'm saying for sure, but you know where it goes? When I click online, what comes up is Blessed Hope Baptist Church website page. And then I Google from there what I need to. Brother Jerry, you're 50 years old. Yep. And you want to know how many 50 years old guys have messed up in their life? I'm going to use it as little as I have to. I'll be honest with you. The capabilities are amazing. I can remember, Brother Klein, needing to find an illustration about something that would fit in my sermon, going downstairs into our learning center, going to the encyclopedias and searching with five or six of them laid out, trying to validate a story or a date, and now I can do it in about 10 seconds. It's a great time saver. It can be used for the right things. But again, we sell needing it using these type of examples, and then we spend all of our time misusing it. Okay? Don't become a slave to the technology. I said this often. I wish I could get everybody to do this. I do not know what this phone's ring sounds like. I don't know. When I get a phone, I immediately put it on vibrate, and it stays on vibrate until I throw it away. Why? All right, I'm going to say it. Because it's rude to walk around with a noisy thing going off all the time. It's rude to sit in a restaurant and have to listen to 15 phone calls go off around me, turned up full blast to stupid sounds. 20-somethings, look right up here. If you've done this in the past, don't ever tell me. But if you sat down with somebody and spent 20 minutes, listen to this ringtone. Oh, yeah, listen to this one. That's cool. Could you Bluetooth that one to me? Listen to this one. What are you, seven? Are you seven? 20 minutes of your life you'll never get back. I mean, I've been with preachers and their phones make all these crazy noises, and I'm hearing things, and they pull it out and they make sure that I hear all of it before they answer, and then they answer it and they smile like they're so proud of themselves, and I want to say, are you a retard? Your phone is clucking. It's mooing. If I'm in a conversation with somebody and my phone begins to vibrate, you'll see me go like that, and I'll touch a button and it'll stop vibrating. And I don't break stride. You know why? Because it would be rude for me when I'm in the middle of a conversation to be interrupted. I'm talking to someone. I mean this. Some of you are an absolute slave to your phone. You'll be in a conversation with your husband or wife, and your phone do something, and you turn around and stop the conversation and ignore them and got to go check. You know what? It's going to be there in 5 minutes. It's going to be there in 10. They got something called voicemail. People can leave a message. I make this speech every once in a while, but church, you better get used to this. You know what this is for your pastor? And it ought to be this for most of us. This is a portable answering machine. That's all it is. Okay, you don't have preacher on demand. You don't have preacher on demand. I've told everybody in here, if you have an emergency, you call me and keep repeating calling me, and I will answer you. But it better be an emergency. Don't you play with me. Because if it's not, you're not going to want me to answer the phone. I mean it. It's about time we set some propriety. Stop being a rude society. I've been counseling in my office with people. They asked to see me. I didn't ask to see them. And they tell me the problem. And I say, okay, let me help you with some things. Let me give you some Bible principles to think about. Number one, have you considered... Hold on, preacher. Yeah? In the preacher's office. And then they look at me and go, just a minute. I'm going to tell you, if that happens again, I'm getting up and going over and opening the door. You asked for my time. What am I trying to teach you here? Manners? Propriety? How about this one? Common sense? If my phone rings like this and it goes off, and I push the button. If I'm in my office talking to somebody and it starts vibrating on the thing, I'll reach over and hit the button. If it does it several times around, I'll say to the person, I'm sorry, I've got a policy that somebody has an emergency. If they call repeatedly, let me please check it. I'm sorry about this. I apologize. You know why? Because even that to me is rude. But because I'm in the position I am, or because I've got a wife that could be on the road, or I've got, I don't have a problem with that, folks. But you know what? This idea of jumping at your phone every time it makes a beep is ridiculous. Listen, come on. You become a slave to it. Come on, let's stop being defensive. You become a slave to Facebook. You become a slave to your smartphone. You become a slave to certain websites. You become slave to certain video games. I said a slave to them. You become a slave to certain programs on TV. Come on. It's about time we took this thing and put it back in the mode of being a servant to us instead of us being a servant to it. You can still grow up and be pure even in an age of advanced technology. But young people, I'm very honest about this with you, and I'm done. It is 1,000 times harder for you because of the technology than it was for my generation. You cannot make exceptions. You have to build strong safeguards in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to use this chapter and help our people in this culture. And I would pray, Lord, that you would protect our church family. God, please. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have common sense. I pray, Lord, that we would really take a step back. Every family, every husband, every wife, every young person, every young couple would take a step back and honestly, with a sincere heart and an openness to the Spirit's leading, reevaluate what technology has become in each of our individual lives. Lord, I felt very pressed in my spirit to say some of the things I said tonight, really unplanned. It would not surprise me right now if there is not marriages at risk, secret relationships, secret things going on. The devil's doing it everywhere. Why would we think Blessed Hope Baptist Church would be the exception? It would not surprise me if there's young people that right now have figured out ways to access things in secret, behind their parents' back, relationships, internet sites. And Holy Spirit of God, I'm praying that you bring extreme, intense Holy Spirit conviction upon their heart. May they have the good sense to go home and be transparent with their parents about this. I feel like I've stepped out into the middle of a road that leads to destruction and blown a trumpet and stood in the... I'm trying to stand right in the way of people, God. They may continue on down the road, but I want them to have to walk over the top of their preacher to do it. Help us, Lord, please, in this area, to use wisdom, have discretion. We pray in Jesus' name.